For you today, and I'm ready to share it with you. I think it's a word that's really key for the body of Christ, and especially for our church at a time like this. And I just want to, I know that you probably have heard some things that have been taught before regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but what I want to share with you today is specifically about the gift of prophecy. And now everybody stop, because usually when you hear that, you start to think about people talking about the end times and all the signs of the coming of the Lord, and I believe in that. I believe in the coming of the Lord and all of those things. But I'm talking about the gift of prophecy and how it edifies and builds up the body of Christ, okay? So everybody with me? So I'm not talking about a predicting of the end of the age or things like that, or trying to figure out where we're at in our eschatology. What I'm here to talk about is the gift of prophecy. So if you'll remember at Pentecost, Peter stood up. The Holy Spirit had been poured out. The crowd had gathered. Peter stood up and began to preach. And he said, he actually preached from the book of the prophet Joel. You remember that? And he said, this is that Joel was speaking of, that in the last days, everybody say last days, I'm going to pour forth of my spirit upon all flesh or all mankind. And we know the rest is history, right? He said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your bondservants and maidservants shall prophesy, the young and the old will have visions and dreams and all of these things. But then he kind of wraps it up by saying that all shall prophesy by cause of the outpoured, receiving the outpoured Holy Spirit, okay? It's very, very clear. And then it goes on to talk about signs in the sky above and the earth beneath and things like that. And then it says, and all of this will take place before, everybody say before, the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. So the day of the Lord obviously has not come yet in that respect to the ending of the church age as we know it. And so with that in mind, I believe that everything that he spoke that day at the beginning of the last days, we're still in the last days. In fact, we're closer to being at the end of the last days than obviously any generation that ever lived. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. But we're at the end of the last days. So if anybody's the last days, we are. And yet this is what the prophets said would be like in the church atmosphere. And a lot of the church has seen a lot of things restored, and there's been a lot of joy about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and things like that. But I felt today that I really believe with all of my heart in every ministry and in every church and in every outreach and in every life and everywhere we want to be fruitful, this key gift is something we were told to seek above everything else. So with that today, I want to share a few things with you. You're going to be familiar with these passages, but I don't want you to kind of check out because you've heard it before. Everybody with me? So let's hear the Spirit of the Lord today and hear what I believe he's saying to us in this hour. I want to start today in Numbers chapter 11. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Numbers. But in Numbers, I want to just kind of set it up for you. The Lord has instructed Moses to gather the elders together. I want you to gather all the elders together and station them throughout the camp in the tent of meeting. And as they gather together, here's what the Lord told Moses. I am going to put my spirit, which is upon you, I'm going to put him on them, okay? And we'll see in a minute what the purpose of that was for. And when they did that, here's the reason for it. I want you to get this. Please get this. It was for the purpose of the fact that if my spirit is upon them, now you can properly shepherd the whole flock of God. How many know no one man can shepherd a flock, even a church this size? Hello? You really can't. But see, I know a lot of times we don't see prophecy as a help in the area of shepherding, and it's actually, I'm going to show you today where it impacts every area of ministry, and especially in tending to and caring for and comforting and building up the sheep of God, which is you and I. Amen. Everybody with me? How many know we need that, do we not? And prophecy, and I want to show you today in a way that I hope will be not intimidating, but challenging to us and exhort us. Are you with me? So you're in Numbers 11. I want to go to verse 24. I want to start there and read this account to you. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. Also, he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, and he stationed them around the tent. And then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to them, and he took of the Spirit who was upon him, upon Moses, and placed him. Notice the Holy Spirit is God, right? Amen? He placed him, not it. He placed him upon the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested again upon them, they prophesied. Everybody say they prophesied. But interestingly, they did not do it again. Now, everybody stay with me a moment. The Spirit did not dwell within people in the old covenant. neither did the glory stay with them. That's why Moses wore a veil. Remember? Hello? There were encounters and there were times when the Spirit of the Lord would come upon them. Everybody still with me? So when God's doing something in the camp, you can certainly have of it. The problem was not until the redemption through Christ and the outpoured Holy Spirit, who's not only with us but in us, will we be able to see this become something they could continue in. Are you with me? But I believe with all of my heart it's a prophetic picture of the church and the age in which we live. So let's continue on. It says here, look at verse 26. Two men had remained in the camp, and the name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those who had been registered, but had not gone out to the tent. And they prophesied in the camp. So a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. I guess they were the company tattletales. And then Joshua, the son of Nun, the attendant of Moses from his youth, said, Moses, my Lord, restrain them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, so that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. Would that all the Lord's people were prophets. Now again, at Pentecost, what did Peter say? The Spirit is poured out and all shall what? Prophesy. Now we know that doesn't mean all become prophets and prophetesses. Not at all. That's not what that means. There's still the office of the prophet. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But what Moses, I believe, was desiring, Moses was saying, I have no problem with these guys prophesying. I wish everybody had the Spirit upon them to prophesy. He's probably saying, my job would be a lot easier. Hello? If everybody worked in this exhortive gift. And so Moses is seeing something, I believe, that spoke of the church age. Even there in Numbers chapter 11. And imagine what it would be like if all of God's people, I want to put this before you. What if everybody in this room, in our gatherings, in our fellowships, and our even one-on-one, a cup of coffee, just sharing and loving on one another, if we were prophetic? Hello? If we understood that God wanted to say something through it, and I'm going to take away some of the mystery of it today, okay? And help us maybe to understand a little bit better of how that works and how it looks. And frankly, we can look even at our own Lord and how he would prophesy. He would minister to people just in conversation with them. Are you with me? And so we'll talk about that now. So let's go over to the probably more familiar teachings on prophecy, obviously in the New Covenant. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I just want to read the first four verses. We're not going to go into all the gifts of the Spirit today, okay? But in verse number 1, it says, pursue what? Love, yet desire earnestly what? Everybody say it. Spiritual gifts. Now, if you read the context here, Paul lists, when he was writing to the Corinthians, 9 spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? The word there is for gift is the word for grace. The word in the Greek, charis, everybody with me? Charis, or grace, or gift. It's an enabling of the Holy Spirit, okay? Everybody with me on that? I shared with you last week about how grace is more than just the grace that saves you. There's the multifaceted grace of God, and some of that is the very gifts of the Holy Spirit that he gives us that enable us in areas where we can't do it without him. Amen? So we have the gifts. So he said, but I want you especially, when you're desirous of the graces of God, the spiritual gifts of the Spirit, I desire more than anything that you may what? Prophesy. That you may prophesy. For the one who speaks in a tongue in the assembly does not speak to men, but to God, right? Hello? I mean, when I'm worshiping in the Spirit and singing in the Spirit and praying to the Lord in the Spirit, that's just me and God, right? It's not edifying to you at all. It's marvelous for me. But he's talking about when we're assembled together, and so he speaks of this, and Paul addresses this, because he does not speak to men, but he speaks to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit, he speaks what? Mysteries. You know, that word there is meaning hidden things. Think about that. It's not just gibberish. Are you with me? It's not just a bunch of syllables that don't make any sense to your mind. They don't make sense to your mind, but you're speaking mysteries to God. So it's an amazing thing. But the one who prophesies speaks to men. Now, ladies, that's to you too. To people. How about that? For edification and exhortation and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But the one who prophesies in the assembly edifies the church. Everybody say the church. I want to encourage you today regarding this spiritual gift. Are you ready to be encouraged? Yes. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there, let me just say this. There is a word of prophecy that many times is spoken corporately to the whole. And many times that will be done through a leader or someone who's actually a prophet. Okay? Everybody with me? It's a strong word. I would say it this way. It would be a word that would be more of a thus saith the Lord to us, right? And usually it's of a very corporate nature and a corporate direction to us. But the gift of prophecy generally is something that works through our lives in a very relational way, person to person. Everybody still with me? It makes sense. So I'm not belittling or talking down about prophets or anything like that, but I am saying, I just want to say this. I believe there are prophets because they're all through the New Testament. Okay? I believe there are prophets, and I believe the church is still in great need of them in this hour. Would you agree? Hallelujah. I've got prophetic people in my life that I'm under. They're covering, and believe me, I covet their gift to speak into my life. Okay? Now, but I want to exhort you regarding the gift of prophecy that's defined here in the New Covenant. That anyone, I believe, who is filled with the Holy Spirit can operate in. And hopefully, I don't think that's any prophetic sign there. That's been falling down for the last few weeks. But anyway, and hopefully, I want to remove some of the intimidation. Everybody look at me. How many of you know, it's sometimes that when I even ask you just to turn around and bless someone, you're intimidated. Because I see it in your face, like, if he asked me one more time to say something to somebody. But I'm telling you right now, we need to get over ourselves and get over the intimidation. Amen? Amen? This is a good message today, so stay tuned with me, okay? It's not about your personality. It's about the Spirit of the Lord having reign in your life because he gives utterances. But you know what? He doesn't make you speak. Hello? You have to learn to obey his utterances and give them voice. If you don't give them voice, nobody can hear them. Hallelujah? So I want to remove the intimidation because I believe we're all supposed to desire to operate in this gift and all the gifts of the Spirit, but especially this gift because of its benefit to the body of Christ. Amen? Okay, now let's look at the three traits, so to speak, of the gift of prophecy that we just read. First of all, there's edification. Would you say that with me? Edification. Edification is to build up. It's to, I always think of the word an edifice, something that has been built. So when you're building up, you're edifying, you're building people up spiritually. One of the Greek definitions is that it charges you up in your spirit, man. How many know we need edifying? Hello? We need edifying. Secondly, what is it? Exhortation. Say that with me. Exhortation. Which is simply, exhortation is encouragement. Say encouragement. And then finally, consolation, or some translations say comfort. How many of you know, if someone is in a situation that's a difficulty, or there's something going on, or they're confused, or they don't know what the future holds, how many of you know, just a simple word of prophecy can console them, right? It could comfort them to let them know it's going to get better. Amen? How many know we need that in our lives? And, you know, it's one thing to be mature enough to try to speak to yourself, but I don't care how long you've been in the Lord, it's good to hear from somebody else that's standing with you to say, you know what, you're coming through this in the name of Jesus, and he's got this for you. And when we have that type of an attitude, what happens is the supernatural gift of encouragement starts to flow because we have a heart to encourage one another. Hallelujah. I believe that's what it means when it says to fervently love one another. That fervent love means that I actually came here today with more of a concern and care about how I can be a blessing to somebody than just to get blessed. But in doing that, if we all do that, guess what? We all get blessed because everybody has that attitude and heart. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want you to just receive that today and understand that this is something God is in favor of, and he is encouraging us. The gift of prophecy, obviously, though, is an utterance gift. Okay, it's a gift that has to be spoken. It's, again, edification, exhortation. Let's say it together. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Amen? That is given by the Holy Spirit. It can flow through a word, obviously. It can flow through a prayer. How many of you have ever gotten a prophecy for somebody while you're praying for them? It can flow through a song. You can be sung over by a minstrel, and that song will prophesy to you. Are you with me? We can obviously hear prophetic words in the context of a teaching or a preaching time. Many, many times I get into prophecy while I'm teaching and preaching. Or the scripture that I'm even quoting, it comes so alive that logos becomes rhema to such a degree that it's prophetic to somebody. And they may have heard it 100 times, but today it came alive. Are you with me? So that's how prophecy can manifest in various ways, okay? But the gift of prophecy has to be given utterance, okay? And the church needs this edification. Say amen if you agree with me. But prophecy is also important to winning the lost. To winning the lost, which in turn, how many know that's what's going to grow the church? Is when we start reaching people that don't know Christ, amen? More than anything else, to grow the church. But I will say this, there are a lot of unchurched believers wandering around metropolitan Phoenix. Hello? There's a lot of prodigals around metropolitan Phoenix. Hello? For whatever reason. And wouldn't you think that they need a word of encouragement and exhortation and comfort? I mean, a lot of times we think evangelism is confrontation, but when I read the scriptures, I don't see that. You certainly didn't see it in Jesus' life and ministry, do we? But we do see the comfort and the edification, and it's the prophetic that woos and draws the heart. So believe me, there's a grand harvest for the use of this gift, even outside of our assemblies together. But the more you learn to do it within the body, you'll be more confident to do it outside the body. Amen? And can I tell you, I have seen people when they prophesy, for some reason, and I've spent most of my Christian life in Pentecostal charismatic type style services, and I'll be honest with you, I've seen a lot of weirdness. And I've seen a lot of things that I know weren't God, but yet the word was good. You with me? You know, like, I didn't really like the way that was delivered, but it was sure good. But at the same time, it doesn't have to be weird to be powerful. Hello? It doesn't have to be, you know, crazy to be powerful in how it's delivered. And I think sometimes we mess up the delivery of something that God sincerely wants to speak to that person. And we should consider that when we go forward in the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Here's the bottom line. Prophecy, I think, more than anything, imparts hope to people. Does it not? Because people need hope. And you're not going to come to any faith if you don't have hope. Because faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of the unseen. That's what faith is. Faith is seeing something that you can't see with your natural eyes. And so hope is restored. And when hope gets restored, now faith can be activated. I'm convinced of this. I've tried so hard to get people to believe with me and come to faith. And the Lord said, if you would give them some hope, they might believe with you. Hello? And so that's the way we do that. That's why the testimony of Jesus is so powerful. It can be prophetic. You might be only talking about what God did in your life to someone, and that's prophesying to them. Is not the testimony of Jesus the spirit of prophecy? Revelation 19:10. So even in sharing what God is doing, you're prophesying to people. And it's giving them hope. Well, if he did it for Rick Bennett, surely he'll do it for me and my marriage and my children, whatever situation that you're boasting in the Lord about. Amen? And that's the way we ought to live our lives. Again, the bottom line is this. The gift of prophecy will work and it will be effective in any setting, I believe. Because we're constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, and I believe he is a speaking spirit. He's not a mute spirit waiting for me to flip a switch. Amen? He's a speaking spirit. Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Amen? And so I believe it works within and outside the body of Christ. What I mean by that, in and outside the church gathering, in and outside the prayer meeting, in and outside the fellowship, right? So we can be used of God in that way. So prophecy can bless the church, say amen. Prophecy also can reach the unreached. Prophecy can also bless the unchurched and encourage them and bless those who are the prodigal sons and daughters out there on the landscape that we see every day. Now, I've shared this verse with you probably several dozen times the last few weeks from Galatians 2:20. We know it well. For I am what? Crucified. Talk to me with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now here, the reason I'll bring that up to you again today is if Jesus is living in and through us and truly having an outlet to actually live through us, would he not be edifying people? Would it not be his heart to encourage and to comfort? The answer to that question is yes. Amen? And so if Christ is living through me, then I'm going to be a prophetic person because he was prophetic. Hallelujah. Everybody still there? Jesus is wanting to edify and encourage those in whom he loves. The Bible says no one could come to the Father unless the Lord draws him. No one can come unto me, Jesus said, unless the Father draws him. My point is, God is drawing the humble of heart. He's drawing the poor in spirit. He's drawing the afflicted and the hurting. He's drawing and he's wooing their heart. And he very well wants to use you to do that. Amen? To bring them to a place in the Lord. And it's through that gift of prophecy that he does that. I believe with all my heart, people need a word. People, how about this? People need a touch. People need love, do they not? I mean, we live in a very callous, sterile world, and even what we call social is not social at all. It's about media and images and digital bites and sound bites. But the social part, the koinonia of the fellowship of God, is when we're together in the Spirit. Amen? And this is the way God wants us to communicate. Of course, only the humble can receive. So I want to encourage you today. You may actually have had a word for somebody, but they don't receive it. But Jesus says very clearly, and the scripture also says later in the letters that were written, that God resists the proud, but he gives grace, hallelujah, to the humble. And you might say, well, what do you do when you feel like God had something for someone and they seem to be like it? Have you ever felt like you were sowing seed and you just threw it on the asphalt? You know what I mean? Just kind of like bounce back up at you. Well, one thing I think we can do there is just in the compassion of Christ, begin to really pray for that person and intercede for them and pray for the Lord to bring them to a place of tenderness in their hearts and humility so that they can receive. Amen. But for me to get in their face and threaten them with hell and jump down their throat and you're going to receive this word no matter what, I got news for you. You might as well be trying to pound it into the pavement out there. Amen. And we've got to trust it and let God. Sometimes we sow, sometimes we reap, and we have to really be wise at how we do that. Amen? But I believe in sowing seed everywhere. In the parable of the sower, he sowed seed everywhere. Even on the ground that wasn't good ground, he still sowed it. And so I think that's what God's called us to do. But we all need a word. How many of you know, we all in this room probably, I know 99% of you are saved and you love and you know the Lord. Well then, I got news for you today that you still need a word. We still need prophetic input into our lives to encourage and to uplift us and to edify us and to comfort us and console us and bring us through in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was talking yesterday to Marvin and Irene a little bit, and they were sharing with me, you know, sometimes we want things to go faster. We know the Lord's going to heal us. We know the Lord's going to bring us through this. But a lot of times we don't like the process and how long it took to get through it. Anybody with me? Come on, if you're human, you can say amen to that. You know, we always would rather have things like an American wants it, which is now. Right? I want it now. I don't want to wait. I don't want to go to the next lane. How many of you like to get your order in, even pay for it, and then be told at the window to go park it? Don't you love that? You've already got my money now, so I mean, I've got to go park it and wait. But Marvin was telling me, he said, you know, but I know going through the process, I'm looking at all the other opportunities that opened up in the time of suffering and in the time of hardship, the other opportunities that opened up. We had more little mini worship services in Chandler Regional Hospital over the past week than we would have ever had if nobody had been in there. You with me? And so anyway, God's good. So I want to share with you, I believe, what are four keys to operating in the gift of prophecy, okay? But I want you to remember this. Prophecy is the result of you and I being filled with the outpoured Holy Spirit. Fair enough? You with me? It's not something you do separate from the Holy Spirit. It's an attribute, a gift, a manifestation, a ministry of the Holy Spirit whom you have received. Okay? Everybody still there? So it's not like I get to pocket this gift and then live oblivious to the Holy Spirit. That's not the Spirit-filled life. Okay? And so we need to be really careful because I've seen people, I can tell that they're almost manipulating and twisting things in a way to make it look like a gift of the Spirit, but they're not following the Spirit. Are you with me? And so, again, I'm not trying to get you suspicious of it, but I am trying to help you understand. First and foremost, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? To at all times be filled with the Spirit of God. And especially so, when we gather together, when we're praying and singing and worshiping, we're asking for a special infilling. We're asking for a manifestation of the glory and presence of God through the Holy Spirit. And so we all need to be open at all times. Amen? For something the Lord wants to do. I believe He's always wanting to come and up the bar. If we live that way, I believe we'll experience that. So let me give you these four keys real quick this morning, and then I want us to pray together. The first one is this. The Holy Spirit manifests the gifts to each one of us individually as He wills. His will is involved. So again, I can desire to be used of God in that area, but ultimately He's the one that releases the gift. And I'm going to show you in a moment how you can be fine. You can become a vessel that He desires to flow through. And I'll show you that in a moment. But let's first look at 1 Corinthians 12. Go back to chapter 12 and look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, works all these things. He's talking about all these manifestations of the gifts, okay? Distributing to each one individually. Everybody say individually. Say it again, individually, just as He wills. Are you with me? Now, let me stop for a moment. You might say, well, if that's the case, then God's going to spread these nine gifts out and around, and it's always going to... Well, here's the biggest problem we have with that is somebody thinks that they have, like, ownership of one particular gift. And I just don't believe it's biblical. No offense to you. But I believe the gifts of the Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit, all the gifts are resident within you. Here's the thing. He manifests them as He wills through ministry in the church. And most people that operate in the gifts more than others just have a really strong desire and a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit that He can use them. Fair enough? Hello? So we can understand that. Because I'm telling you today, if you were the vessel of God chosen to go minister to somebody, I've heard people say, well, He has a gift of healing. Well, God uses me in healing too. And He'll use you in healing too if you'll be an open vessel to Him. Are you with me? Because the Holy Spirit, who is part of that grace, of who manifests that grace of healing through His believers, is also the one who is doing the healing. Okay? Listen to the Passion Translation of that verse. Remember that it is the same Holy Spirit, get this, who distributes, activates, and operates these different gifts as He chooses for each believer. Amen? A lot of times in a setting like right now, I'm teaching, I'm ministering to you, and it's a little bit different setting. And other times when we're praying for one another, or we're in a home group, or a fellowship, there's probably much more likely that everybody would be activating gifts in certain moments. Or maybe, like in a praise service, we'll have people that'll feel something prophetic come upon them, and they'll want to share it, you know, in the time of worship. So there's different ways in how we're available and ready for that distribution, so to speak, of the gifts of the Spirit. Here's the thing I want you to get from this first key. We can expect, everybody say expect, we can expect that the Holy Spirit desires to activate His gifts through our lives. Amen? We can expect that, can we not? I mean, why would He tell us to desire something that we can't expect? So we should have an expectation so that we can minister to others and so that we can edify the church together. And can I tell you this? Not only can we expect, can I say this respectfully? We should expect. We should expect Him to do so. Which again is going to require all of us to be Spirit filled, open, yielded, flexible before the Lord so that He can do what He wants to do. Okay? Aware. I love that song. We sing it a lot. Holy Spirit, come and flood this place and fill the atmosphere. And I love that, but I love the bridge more than anything else. Let us become more aware of Your presence. And how many know that's the way we need to live? In these services and out there, we need to live aware of the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you. I've been reminded, the Lord's stirring me up about this because I used to be more open, like I would just speak a word of encouragement to whoever's waiting on me at the restaurant or something. And you'll find when you start to do that, it opens the door for other things to begin to flow. And then God will actually give you things like a word of knowledge or something. And we'll talk more about that. But the second key is pursue love. Can we say that together? Pursue love. Your desire is seen in your pursuit. When somebody says they desire something, did you know that's the same word that's used on a negative sense for most people when they think of it, but it's to lust after it. I mean, you can lust after the wrong things, right? We call them the lust of the flesh. But what if we lusted after the things of the Spirit? But here's the key to that. Pursue love. Everybody say it again. Pursue love. Romans 5 says this. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, how many of you know, when we look at God's definition of love, it's intimidating, right? 1 Corinthians 13, we're like going, wow, can anybody love like that? Well, can I give you a little bit of a break? No, you can't. Unless he has shed abroad that love in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. We love because he first loved us. Amen? And I'm telling you, we can walk in that kind of love. And that's the key. Our desires to operate in any gift of the Spirit should be because of love. Because what does the Scripture say? If I operate in any type of gift of the Spirit or ministry without love, I have become what? A noisy gong. You all know that verse? Or a clanging cymbal, right? In other words, I'm just noisy. When the love's gone, I'm just making a noise. Hallelujah. That's what happens when the gifts are trying to be manifested just for the sake of... Please, let me warn you. Well, I guess it's a warning or an admonition. Don't wear your gifts like a badge on your lapel. Hello? Because it's all about love. And it's all about conveying that love to someone who needs comforting, edifying, and consoling. Amen? Hallelujah. I would have hoped I've gotten more of a roar of amens. But I'll say it again. Amen? Hallelujah. So love is our what? It's our motivation. Amen? To never forget that love, but let me say this about love. Love is a command. It's the royal law of the kingdom. Love is a command. It's not an emotion. It can be emotional, but you can't, how many know you can't depend on that? To be committed to somebody in the agape love of God requires you to get past your emotions. Amen? And to get past that, it's an act of your will to choose to love somebody with the love of God and to flow in that love. It's not merely a feeling or an emotion. But can I tell you what? The more we obey God and walk in his love, he will move you with compassion. You'll feel and sense the compassion of God. Do y'all remember the story of the Good Samaritan, right? The man was left alongside the road, left for dead. We know the story, right? And by the way, Jesus is explaining to this man who challenged Jesus, what does it mean? He said, well, who is my neighbor? When Jesus said, love your neighbor as you do yourself. And so Jesus gives this parable, this little story, this biblical story about love. And if you remember, the first person to come along was a priest, a religious leader, who went out of his way to avoid the man. Remember? Then came a Levite, another religious leader, who went out of his way to avoid the man. But the Samaritan came along, and he was moved with compassion for him. How many know compassion is a very real thing, but it's hardly ever convenient. It's usually very costly. Amen? Time, even maybe resources. We know the story. He ministered to that man and even took him to an inn and paid the innkeeper and said, I'll be back in a couple of days and give me the bill. Isn't that amazing? Everybody say love. That's the love of God. And so as we understand that and we flow in this love, compassion can move in us. I saw a meme a few weeks ago on Facebook. It was from 1 Corinthians 13. He said, we all should be maturing in the Lord and yielding to the love of God to such a degree. And he said this, and he put the verse that we know so famously up there. And he said that you can put your name everywhere it says love. And so let me read it to you. Are you ready? Rick is patient. And you can do this with your name, okay? Rick is kind and not jealous. Rick does not act unbecomingly. Rick does not seek his own and is not provoked. By the way, I did a lot of repenting before I put this in my notes. Rick does not take into account a wrong suffered. That's the hardest one for Rick. Y'all, come on. To not remember and take into account a wrong done to you. Rick doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but Rick rejoices with the truth. Rick bears all things, Rick believes all things, and Rick endures all things. How many would like to be able to put your name there too? Yeah. Are you with me? Amen? That's the love of God. And here's the thing, beloved. When we choose, everybody say choose. When we choose to love and pursue that love, that is according to God's definition of love, which is the word, again, agape, okay? It's a supernatural love. It's not a human love. It's not a brotherly love. It's not a sensual, erotic love, a romantic love. It's truly there's a lot of words for love in the Bible and in the Greek, but it's the agape, the divine committed love of God. God looks at a world that needs saving and said, because I love you, he didn't say because I'm thrilled with you. Because I love you, I'm going to save you. Amen? You see, that's the way love works. Love works on this side of redemption and brings forth redemption. Hallelujah. So again, love never fails. Say that with me. Love never fails. The word never means never. It never fails. You know what I love about it? It loves to show up. Agape loves to show up with compassion when you and I are obedient to the Holy Spirit. The third thing, the key to operating more in prophecy is, the third one is, not only do you pursue love, but you what? Desire earnestly to prophesy. And if, and let me just say this, give you a break. I don't every day of my life walk around with a desire to prophesy. But you know what? What if we started praying that way? Lord, just give me a hunger and a desire because of love to want to give a word to the weary. Amen? To want to be that guy for you. And I believe that earnest desire is really, really the key. But you got to look for a desire, and you got to look for and desire to prophesy. I like to put it this way. Look for and desire opportunities to build up and encourage and comfort other people. Look for that, to do that. And prophesying, just as love is an obedient action, so is prophecy. It's an obedient action. Just like when I choose to love, let me give you a picture. You choose to love, and then agape starts to manifest through that act, right? In the same way, when you choose to encourage, when you choose to lift somebody up, guess what happens? The supernatural encouragement of God begins to flow through your words. Does that help you? But see, if you're not an encourager, how can we expect that God, the encourager, is going to flow through us? Hallelujah. His prophetic words. There's a man in the Bible that we know of. His name is Barnabas. And that was not his given name at birth. That was the name given to him in the kingdom of God. And his name was Barnabas. And Barnabas was a prophet. Okay? So if he's a prophet, he better prophesy. Right? And you know what the name means? Son of encouragement. How would you like to be known as sons and daughters of encouragement? Amen? Amen. And in that, interestingly, his ministry was that of a prophet. Isn't that powerful? So you can't disconnect that from it in order for it to happen. Have you ever heard somebody prophesy and it was almost like mean? You're like going, that wasn't very encouraging. I'm scared of you. Could you leave? You know? Come on, we've been there. And I'm telling you, that is something we need to flow in the love of God. As I speak encouragement to someone, being filled with the Spirit of God, then prophecy may and very well likely will flow through me in an opportune time to be a blessing to other people. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I want you to note something here too. And I feel like I need to say this morning just for the sake of not being misunderstood, because I've heard supposedly prophecies like this, and it may have been truly a prophetic word and an insight, but it brought something about that I believe it wasn't used with wisdom, and I'll explain. Our job is not to convict people of their sins. That's not our job. I thought I would get more amens to that. It's not our job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. Now, I'm not saying people don't need to be convicted of their sins, but that's not my job. Are you with me? If I desire to see someone convicted of their sins, and then I try to bring about this conviction in my power and my persuasion, how many of you know it's going to be probably a lot less likely they're going to repent and fall under conviction? In fact, they might get mad or angry at me. Or how about this? They'll start to feel condemned. And there, it seems like a fine line, but there's a gulf between conviction and condemnation. They're not even close to the same. Condemnation pushes you away from God. Conviction draws you to God to repent and change. How many know there's a big difference? And if I do any ministry, I want it to bring conviction, not condemnation. So I have to be careful. Even if God was to reveal a word of knowledge to me about somebody's condition of their heart, I need to understand in what context I should share that. And maybe I may not even need to. Y'all okay with that? Very important. The woman at the well. You remember that? Jesus knew obviously full well that she had had five husbands, and the guy she was with now, she's just lit shacking up. Right? Wasn't even married to this guy. He knew that, but he had already, read the context, he had already been sharing with her about living water and the love of God and true worship and all of these things. And then he says, go get your husband. I love the way the Lord did it. Go get your husband. And she goes, well, I have no husband. At least she was honest, right? She's still freaking out probably because a Jew's talking to her at a well, a man and a woman in that culture, and talking to Samaritans. You put all that together. I mean, this woman had all the strikes against her. And on top of that, you know everybody in the community knew she was an adulterer. They knew that. And yet Jesus, all he said was, go get your husband. He said, well, you've answered correctly. You have no husband because you've had five. And the guy you're with now is not your husband. And then he just goes right back into ministering to her. Do y'all hear my heart? I've heard people that have used prophetic insight to think they're bringing conviction, but we've got to use a lot of wisdom in that. Here's my take on it. I don't believe conviction of sin is supposed to be brought about publicly. If anything, it's a one-on-one thing, right? So it doesn't bring embarrassment and drive them away from God. Okay. I'll give you a verse for that in just a moment. I kind of jumped ahead of myself. Number one, live aware of the Spirit, expect to prophesy. Number two, pursue love. Number three, desire to prophesy. Amen? And number four, the last one, develop a disciple's tongue like the one our Lord had. Let me show you a powerful verse. It's found in Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5. Look there with me. Listen to this. The Lord has given me the tongue of disciples. You could put it this way. Everybody know, there is a tongue that everybody else has, and there's a tongue that a disciple has. Hello? Are you with me? That I may what? Know how to sustain the weary one with a word. How many of you would like in every situation of life, when you come across a weary one, that you're able to sustain them with a word? Wave at me if you would like that. Okay, just two of you. Come on. To sustain the weary ones with the word. I mean, a lot of times you know they're weary, but we don't know what to say to them. Don't ever say that again, because you don't have to know what to say to them. Holy Spirit knows what to say to them. Amen? Now get this. The next part's really good. He awakens me, how often? Say it. Morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen. Everybody say listen. You know why a lot of people don't hear? Hello? They're not listening. They're not deaf. They just don't listen. Wives, do not look at your husband. Straight ahead. Keep your eyes on me now. I don't want to do marriage counseling this afternoon. Okay. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Anybody want to be a disciple? Come on. This is what it means to be a disciple. The Lord God opened my ear. I love this. And I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. Hallelujah. I didn't pull away. I didn't shy away. I didn't miss the hour. I didn't go to the other side of the road to avoid what somebody else needed. You with me? Hope this is blessing you today. Jesus clearly exhorts us as his disciples to abide in his word. And I believe he's calling every morning to take time to look intently into the word. I believe the Lord wants to do that. Can I tell you this? The more familiar you become with hearing, please hear my heart now. The more familiar you and I become at hearing his voice from scripture, the more familiar you'll hear his voice when he wants to speak something prophetically through you. And you know what? It might be actually scripture There's two words for the word, W-O-R-D, in the scripture. The first word is very familiar, logos. Everybody say logos. Logos would be a word that's been written. Wow. Somebody want to pray for my tooth? Anybody got a word? No. Written or established word. That's the logos. Is that the word? Hello? Is it the word? Not a trick question. Is it the word? It's the word. But there's another word, and it's rhema. Everybody say rhema. And rhema is this word enlightened to you, this word coming alive. Amen? So sometimes you may get a word that's not an actual scripture, but it's still rhema. And other times, I've given people a word, all I did was just tell them what the Word of God said, and it was prophecy to them. Are y'all getting this? And it encouraged them, and they came to faith. It may have been something like praying for someone who's sick and just declaring to them, dear one, Jesus has already borne your sicknesses and pains and infirmities, and by his stripes you were healed. Amen? And they received that, and I was just quoting scripture, but it was prophecy to them. And I tell you, you might say, well, I don't know how to hear from the Lord. Well, are you in the Word? Are you in the Word? Are you in the Word? That's the key. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. It's the key to abiding in the Lord is to stay in this Word, and you'll find you will become incredibly prophetic. Hallelujah. Anybody want that? I believe we can develop it. And I wanted to encourage you with that today. And many times, what does the Bible say? Let he who has ears hear. In other words, start listening to what the Spirit is saying. Not just what he has said. Now, I'm thankful for what he has said. You know what I love? He likes to take what he has said and say it to me as a now word. You know what I'm saying? And it just comes alive. You've had that happen. You're like, wow. It's like I never read that before. And God will make that logos become rhema in your life. So I want to encourage you. But I think the commitment really needs to be when we get along with God morning by morning and allow him to open up our ears. I think God's going to get excited when you start to put that time in with him in prayer and in worship, praying in the Spirit, you know, and worshiping in the Spirit, but also getting into the Word and hearing the Word of God. I just want to say over all of you today, I believe with all my heart, he wants this to be an incredibly prophetic assembly of people. Anybody else receive that? Marlene receives it. Anybody else receive it? Incredibly prophetic people. And not meaning that you just get words, but you give words. Now, everybody with me? When you're going to give some life-changing word that moves way beyond comfort and exhortation and consolation, we don't need parking lot prophecies that aren't witnessed by someone else in leadership, okay? Hello? Start telling somebody, I think the Lord told me you need to jump off a cliff or something, and you know, whatever. You know, you really need, you know, we need to, there's wisdom in all of this, okay? But God wants to give us the word. Okay, now, he who has ears hear. So when I speak a new word, it will come alive into people's hearts. I'll be honest with you, the most powerfully prophetic psalmist, the most powerfully and prophetic leaders that I know that minister in the prophetic strongly, they live in the word. They live in. I can't remember the guy's name right now. I can actually see his face. We used to have him come to Christ to Rock, and I remember I heard Bill Johnson saying recently that they used to bring him in at Bethel a lot. Some of you may remember. You may remember Melody and Rick. He would always prophesy with Scripture. Y'all remember that guy? I can't remember his name, but anyway, it doesn't matter. He's in the cloud of witnesses today in heaven. But somebody would come forward for a word, and he would start to pray over them, and then he would just give them a Scripture. I mean, I think the guy had the whole Bible memorized. And I asked him about it. It's one of the perks of being on staff. I got to talk to the guy. And he says, I really don't have it all memorized. He said, it just comes out of me. But I do look at it a lot, and I read it a lot, and I meditate on it a lot. And so the Holy Spirit draws out. See, there's a treasure that you build within you in the Word of God, and that's what the Holy Spirit draws on. He can't draw on something that's not there. But if you've treasured the word in your heart, then we pull forth out of that treasure with the words of our mouth. And we release that treasure of goodness to someone else. Anybody want to be that? Hallelujah, that's what I want to be. But you got to develop. I just want to encourage you, you can develop this within you. And you can have a disciple's tongue. And if it's a disciple's tongue, guess what? It's going to be prophetic. Prophecy is so essential for the church today. It's so essential. It's how we walk in covenant. Anybody want to arise and shine like the scripture said? Well, you know what the verse is before it? The last verse of chapter 59 before chapter 61, 60 verse 1. Before that verse it says this. This is the covenant I have made with them, declares the Lord. My spirit which is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your children, nor from the mouth of your children's children, from now and forevermore, says the Lord. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's why it's so essential. And when we become prophetic, we're going to shine like never before in dark places. Hallelujah! This is what God wants to do. To restore. How many of you want to be able to restore hope to the hopeless? Amen? To help people. It also causes faith to come. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. It edifies and encourages the body of Christ. It helps us to reach the lost and restore the prodigals. It helps us to be able to flow in the other prophetic gifts of the Spirit. I believe there are three prophetic gifts. Let me give them to you real quickly. I'll talk about these more in the weeks to come. The three prophetic gifts of the Holy Spirit's nine gifts are prophecy, words of knowledge, and words of wisdom. Okay? And we'll talk about those a little bit more. Not today. But here's the thing, what I found. People have asked me, well, was that a word of knowledge or what was it? I'll say, you know, I don't know. But I find when I start prophesying, they beautifully intermingle. There's wisdom in there. There's some knowledge, some things revealed to me that I didn't know. And then there's the foretelling prophetic part of giving the comfort and the promise of a brighter future type of a thing. Are y'all with me? And so they intermingle together. Prophecy is a powerful gift to bless the church when we assemble together and also for us to bless the unbeliever who would come into our midst. Now, I want to talk about that a moment because I believe the verse that I alluded to earlier about sin and the secrets of the heart, I don't believe the Lord was talking about sin, personally. Okay? And I want to show you the verse. Let's look at it first, and then I promise we're going to wrap up after this. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 24. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 24. If all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an ungifted man, all that means is someone would come into your midst that's not filled with the Holy Spirit or not familiar with the things of the Spirit. Are you with me? Okay? So an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters. He is convicted by all. He's called into account by all. Get this now. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring what? What does he declare? God is certainly among you. Do y'all see how powerful this is? I love it when I feel God's presence. I love it when we have that type of manifestations, and I expect them all the time. But it's even more powerful when somebody realizes the secrets of their heart have been revealed. Amen? I don't believe, again, I'm not trying to be redundant, but I don't believe this is talking about publicly exposing someone's sin. Because if anything, that might make them hit the door. Yeah. Or maybe even stand up and rile at you back, like, how dare you judge me? I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, some of us have been in those situations probably. Or we've seen it or witnessed it. But I do believe, just like at the woman at the well, the Lord may show you something and God will reveal that and say, look, you know, God revealed this to me because I want to help you and show you you can be free. You know, like the woman at the well. But in that situation, but what I think is happening here in the assembly, because you understand, when mainly Paul is addressing the public use of gifts when we gather together. That's what he was addressing. And that's why there's so much confusion about whether it's appropriate for tongues and interpretation of tongues and singing, that kind of thing. People get hung up because we keep disconnecting the use of gifts in their context. And I may do a teaching on that too to help for some of you that might hear the different voices that would confuse you. But here's the thing. The secrets he wishes to reveal, more than a secret sin, I believe they're the treasures that God placed within us. I believe it's the prophetic purpose and the destiny and the desires. I've prayed with people before. One of the secret treasures of the heart that I always pick up on when I'm praying for people, especially people I don't know anything about them. I don't know that they're musical. I don't know if they can carry a tune in a bucket. I don't know anything about them. Okay? And I'll be like maybe at some prayer line praying for, especially like a lot of times with young people. I'll be praying over young people like on the Navajo or the Apache Res. And I'll be praying and I'll just stop and ask them. I'll just say, do you play an instrument or do you have a desire to play an instrument? And every time I ask that, when the Holy Spirit tells me to ask that, they'll say yes. And then I start to impart to them and I start to draw some things out of them about how God's called them to be a minstrel voice to their generation. To sing a new song that's never been sung over their people and over their generation. And then they'll start crying and shaking under the power of God. And like, what's happening? There's something in them that they maybe didn't even know that was there, that was ordained by God, that He has already planned for them to walk in. Are y'all with me? And God draws on that. And you see that man or woman become very convicted. Conviction's not always about sin as we think is some kind of a moral failure. It's about the sin of missing the mark. Not living for what God has created you to do and to be. Are you with me? So it's okay. And what happens is you feel like, how many of you ever had somebody pray something over you and you didn't even realize that was in you, but after they prayed that over you, this desire to walk in that really began to stir in you. Anybody with me? Anybody with me? There's a few of you. And I'm telling you, prophecy draws that out. And I believe that's what the context is. Because what it'll cause that man or woman who had the prophetic. I like the prophetic's like a hook. It reaches into the heart of a man and it draws some things out. And it helps to paint a little bit of the, or it could be this. How many of you have had this happen? You'll get a prophetic word for somebody who doesn't know you from Adam, and yet they just prophesied the desire of your heart that you already are aware of, but it was a confirmation. Are you with me? It's a because it was a secret of your heart. Something you always wanted to do. Something you treasured within you, and that prophetic word touched it. And that's why I always say, tears are not a bad thing. Amen? Tears are not a bad thing. Actually, it's a sign many times of brokenness and realizing, oh, Lord, you do know that is from you. I've had that happen to me many times where I got confirmation through the prophetic. And you might say, well, you didn't already believe in God. It's almost like I believed in Him all the more after that. You know what? I just wanted to get to an altar somewhere and bow down before Him and worship Him. Anybody been there with me? And I'm telling you, we need this in the house of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does that clear that up for you? Okay, I wanted to address that because I don't want to be misunderstood on that. Also, much is said about the evidence of speaking with other tongues when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe in it. I believe in the gift of tongues in the area of your prayer language and your worship life is totally legitimate and it's needed and it's edifying for you. But can I tell you, the evidence that Peter spoke of at Pentecost is that all would prophesy. Amen? That was the evidence that you are living a Spirit-filled life when we gather together. Amen? So think about it. Just go back and read it in Acts chapter 2. You can start to see that was the evidence that all should prophesy. And the young and the old and male and female, they're going to prophesy. Hallelujah. Maidservants and bondservants, everybody's going to prophesy. It's exciting. Our kids are going to prophesy. Our teenagers are going to prophesy. Come on. The young and the old are going to prophesy and speak the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you believe He's still pouring forth of His Spirit? Absolutely. He's still pouring. Do you believe He's still speaking? Yes. Then somebody needs to start listening and speaking what He is speaking to your heart. So let's have ears to hear. Again, I'm looking at a lot of born-again, Spirit-filled men and women. You got the ears. The old CB lingo used to be when a trucker was looking for a friend, he would say call out the handle, the name that guy had on the CB, and he'd say, do you have your ears on? Y'all remember that? Come on, you're not that young. Hello. Hey, you know, so-and-so, you know, rubber ducky or whatever. You got your ears on. And I mean, we had CBs and we got cell phones now. Thank Jesus. You guys got to realize, I would load up with all the kids. That was enough. Right? And we would travel from Memphis to the Navajo Res to minister. And the only way we could communicate between all of our vans was CB radios. Like, we're taking this exit, and of course, some people didn't have their ears on, so we all exited, and some vans kept going down I-40. But, you know, whatever, what can you do? You didn't have a cell phone you could call. I'm showing my age. I know y'all thought I was really young, but anyway. But everybody look at me. Do you have your ears on? Are you listening? Are you leaning into God? And when He speaks to you, be bold. Step out. Desire to be used of God. Amen? And let's ask Him to fill our hearts with love. Because I'll tell you, if he fills our hearts with his love and we pursue that love, then we're going to want to help people. Amen? Expect to prophesy. Always pursue love, desire to prophesy, and develop a disciple's tongue in the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord wants us corporately as his body to be givers of hope. He really does. He wants that for this body. His encouragers, his edifiers, his comforters. And God wants you. Let me just say this. Fear is what paralyzes people. But he doesn't give you that. He gives you power and love. Amen? And a sound, disciplined mind. The tongue of a disciple. Amen? So that we can speak and move in the power of God. His love is ultimately the remedy for all fear. Because the Bible says his perfected love in us drives out all fear. Are you with me? So that kind of comes full circle, doesn't it? The love of God that we are in touch with drives out the fear of God. Love never fails. Let's say that together. Love never fails. His love is perfected in us so that we can be led by the Spirit. If you'll be led by the Spirit of God, you'll love. And if you'll love, you'll be led by the Spirit of God. It's just a circle. And it opens. I like to call it loving obedience. Say that with me. Loving obedience. And I believe that as we love one another fervently in this church, and then we love others unconditionally as we would ourselves, I believe we're going to see things happen. And the people that God is drawing, he will start even drawing to us here at Freedom Gate. I want us to be a sticky church. You know what I mean by that? I want us to be sticky. I don't want us to be oily to the degree that everybody just kind of slides right off of us. We never see them again. And I believe the stickiness is the love of God. And the blessing that comes from a people that are filled with the love of God. So I want us to pray this morning and ask the Lord. Get that song down. I want us to pray and ask the Lord to stir a desire in us for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But I also want to ask the Lord to give us all that pursuit in our heart of the love of God. And pray today and ask God to do that. One thing in close, we get prepared. I'm just going to have them play a song, a recorded song. And I just want you just to sit in the love of God for a few moments this morning. And I want to lead you in a prayer first. And then we'll just open ourselves up and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do. But let me just say this to you. Paul said something that I used to stumble over it quite a bit. And I know I've shared this testimony with you before, but I feel like I'm supposed to do it right now to encourage you right now to receive something special from the Lord today. And even for those of you that are watching, and so many of our friends that are not here today, I encourage you that you can do this right where you are. In the hospital room, you can do this at home. But I was meditating on this verse, and you've heard it. Paul said this, I want you to know the love of God, okay, that surpasses knowledge. Okay? You want me to know something without knowledge. And you know what? When I said that, I was kind of being snarky. I said, Lord, this verse is very paradoxical. I don't understand it. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to look it up. So I looked up the word for know, K-N-O-W, to know the love of God. And it means in the Greek to experience the love of God. To know it by experience. And the word that would be very equivalent to it in the Hebrew would be how a man knows a woman. It's intimacy. He wants us to be intimate with the love of God. Amen? And, you know, we got to open our hearts. We got to let the walls down. Amen? And allow him to love us and know his love. Because just to be able to quote scriptures that define his love, that's a good thing, right? You should know 1 Corinthians 13 and all of that. But how many of you know, if you don't know the love of God, it's hard for the knowledge of the love of God to change your heart. Does it make sense? The knowledge of the love of God challenges me and sets parameters and things for me to understand. That's what love working out looks like. But the answer is to know the love of God and to open my heart up to that great love that he has for me and for you. And guess what? For everybody out there, even those right now that mock him and scorn, and that he still loves them unconditionally. Amen? And so God's asked us to do that. So I want to ask you that. I'm going to pray a very simple prayer with you. But I'd like you to just take some time for a few moments this morning. I don't want you to stand up or anything, unless you just want to. If you want to come and kneel, you can. You can kneel where you are. You can stay seated. But would you just kind of, as we pray, would you just put your hands out in front of you? Just kind of just to open up your posture to receive something. And would you do this with me this morning? Can we all lift our face toward Father? Say with me, Abba, Father, I love you. I receive your love, the spirit of adoption that testifies to my spirit, to my heart, that I am a child of God and I am loved by you. Help me, Lord, to allow your spirit to totally fill my heart with the divine love of God, that I may know it through experience, through fellowship, through intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Grant me, Lord, a righteous desire for all the gifts of the Spirit to flow through my life, especially that I may prophesy and speak a word in season and out of season to the weary, to be a comfort, to be an encourager, to bring glory to Jesus' holy name. Thank you, Lord. I believe you love me. Allow me today, in these next few moments, to know your love in a deeper way, I pray. Just wait before the Lord. Just wait before the Lord. Worship, pray as you feel led, but just open your heart and receive.